Ask Zoom. Good evening. Today is March 10th, right?
11th.
March 11th. Thank you. So blah, blah, blah. Sorry about that, guys. And we are saying the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This week's chapter is the Appendix 1, the AA Traditions. And our speaker tonight is Debbie. Thank you, Debbie. Take it away.
Thank you so
Debbie,
much.
excuse me. It's Arlene. Did you say you wanted 3 minutes before?
Yes, that would be
Okay.
awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. So my name is Debbie B, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from just outside of Salt Lake City, Utah. And I'm so glad that I get to be here on this meeting tonight. I don't know that I've been on this meeting before. It doesn't look familiar or seem familiar, but I'm so glad that you're going to have me here. So I will go back to the very, very, very beginning, not birth, but the first time that I remember feeling different than my siblings. I come from a large family, and I just felt different. And the first memory I have of being different is when I would save my lunch money. There was a little old lady that lived a few blocks from my house, and her son worked at a candy factory, and he would bring her home the misshapen candies. It was a factory that made mints, and they were shaped in the shape of a flower. It was just the center and the petals, and they were my most favorite thing on the whole planet. And he would bring her some of those home so that she could sell them out of her home. And when I heard about this, I saw a kid on the bus had some and asked him where he got them, because it's usually not something that you only got when you went to a wedding. And when I found out she was selling them out of her house, I would not eat lunch so that I could go and buy these mints. And I couldn't buy that many at a time. First of all, I had to be able to get off a different bus stop and without my mom finding out. But I decided, after going to her house a few times and just buying a few, that that wasn't enough. And so I saved up for a few days so I could buy an entire box, which I don't know how many were in there, but I would assume like 35. So I ran home that day like I had won the lottery. And I got to my house and I hid them in the closet in my bedroom. And as soon as, and it was before dinner, and we weren't supposed to have sweets before dinner. And I grew up in a house where we ate really, really healthy. I mean, my mom made whole wheat bread. Like, it wasn't even store-bought whole wheat bread. It was the hard, heavy whole wheat bread, and I detested it, but that's what we had, and she fed us very healthy. And so I had to hide candy. And I remember that night, as soon as I would finish a mint, I would get up from my homework or whatever I was doing and go back in my bedroom and eat another one. And I remember I couldn't concentrate on anything. All I could think about was going and having another mint. And I started to be concerned when the box was diminishing, because I was thinking it was going to last a whole week, and I ate the entire box. And that's the first time I remember being concerned, not because I was worried I was a compulsive overeater at age 8 or 9, but because I had no more mint and I had no more money. And I have several other memories like that, but that's the first one I can remember. So fast forward, in my teenage years, I had an older sister who was in high school when I was in junior high, and her bedroom was in the basement, and she had a bathroom across from her bedroom, and I went down there one day to for some reason, and I walked by the bathroom door and I could hear her throwing up, and I thought that maybe she was sick. But then I started to notice a pattern that she was always in the basement bathroom, like all the time. So I finally figured out that she was throwing up because my parents found out she was throwing up somehow, and our household turned upside down. They had her hospitalized, and then she was in therapy, and my mom was going every week to take her to therapy. And what I learned from that is that's what you do. That's what girls do before high school. That's what you're supposed to do in high school, is you're supposed to throw up. But then I soon realized that I could eat whatever I wanted and get rid of it. And at the time, I thought it was about being thin. And now, many years later, looking back on it, and doing lots of reading and studying on bulimia, it's nothing to do with the food, and it's nothing to do with your weight. It's a means of control and a means of purging emotions. And apparently, for some reason, I felt the need to do that. But when I was about Oh, 20. So I did that for about 6 years and I became very unhealthy and my hair was falling out and my skin was pasty and my stomach hurt all the time, 24/7. My stomach hurt. And I remember I was living in Salt Lake with a roommate and I called my dad one night and he didn't know that I was bulimic. I flew under the radar because my sister was under their sights. And so while they were getting her treatment, they didn't notice that I was doing it. So I called my dad one night and I told him and I broke my dad's heart because now we had another daughter that he had to get through this. And but I asked my dad if he would pray with me and my dad cried. And I'll never forget. I wish I could go back and undo the pain I caused my dad, but he prayed with me and he prayed for me and I was able to stop. I didn't have to get therapy. I didn't have to be hospitalized. I was able to stop and I attributed at that young age to God. God did that for me. And I say I didn't have to get therapy. I didn't have to get therapy then. But that's it, just keep listening. Okay. So I got married and I had three little boys. And over the years, my compulsive eating got worse and worse and worse. And the problem is that now I wasn't purging. So I was able to stop purging, but I wasn't able to stop binging. And it wasn't too terrible in the beginning. I mean, I gained weight, but I'm really lucky that I wasn't one of those people that got to 200, 250. I just didn't, but I was well overweight. And so I became an exercise fanatic and I exercised every single day for an hour. It doesn't matter if I was had pneumonia or if I was about to deliver a baby, I exercised for an hour every day. And I thought it was all wonderful and all healthy. And I didn't realize that I had replaced my purging with exercise, but exercise doesn't work quite as good as purging, I found out. But I not only did the prayer help me stop purging, I promised God I wouldn't do it. But something happened to me where the binging stopped working. I no longer got relief from it. I no longer got an effect. And but I didn't realize it. I just would buy the food and eat as fast as I could, searching, searching, searching for the effect that never came. My husband was in the military and he also, and that was not his, that was, he also had a civilian job where he was gone all the time. And he did tours and he went to Iraq after 9/11 and he was there for 15 months and he went to Cambodia and Germany. And I was home most of the time alone with three little boys. And it was very difficult, especially when he was in Iraq, because I knew that people were dying every day. So I turned to food more and more because of that, because of fear, because of coping, because of boredom. And it got to the point where I did start putting on weight quickly. And I remember the thing is I wanted so bad to be healthy. I loved the idea of eating healthy. And I even had like five shelves in my mudroom at one point that were filled with wheatgrass trays because I was growing wheatgrass because wheatgrass was the craze then and everybody would buy it and juice it and it's supposed to be this miracle cure. And so it was very expensive. So I grew my own and I loved the idea of eating healthy, but I was too full. I was too stuffed from candy to be able to eat healthy. There was no more room left. I couldn't even sleep through the night without getting up at midnight because the cravings were so bad. And I would go in the kitchen and get a handful of candy and eat it and then just, okay, the cravings are gone. I can go back to sleep. But now my teeth hurt and now my stomach hurt. And I was too tired to go brush my teeth again. And so anyway, I got to the point where when my boys were little, well, I'm going to skip all that because this is a 20-minuter. But I got to the point 7 years ago. I had prayed all this time to God. I always believed in God. I've always gone to church. I was raised to believe in God. And I had asked him, please remove this addiction to sugar. I wanted more than anything else in life to be able to think clearly and not have that be on my mind all the time, either craving it or getting up every morning so angry at myself because of last night's binge. I wanted to wake up and think, oh, let's get up and cook breakfast for my boys and let's, oh, look, it's sunny today. Oh, spring's coming. Let's, all I thought about was what I did the night before. And I was so tired of it that I fell to my knees and I said a different kind of prayer. And this time I asked Heavenly Father, instead of saying, remove this addiction, I pled with him to please tell me what to do, and I would do it, and I would do anything. And this time I meant it. And I had not prayed like that before. I had just said, remove this addiction, please remove this addiction. And then I would get up from my prayer and go eat some candy because I had no choice. But this time was different, and I said, God, this is not about me being thin anymore. It's about my life and me being a mother and a wife and coping with life. I can't cope with life when I eat sugar all day long. It makes me angry, it makes me sick. It's doing anyway. So this prayer was different, and I sobbed all the way through that prayer. And it was not long after that that I found a 12-step program, and it was not OA, it was just a 12-step program, but there were no sponsors, and it was not for food, it was for any addiction. But what happened was I was in a college class, and in that class you had to do something for 1 month perfectly that was some sort of self-improvement, self-help. And so I thought, this is it. I will be able to do this because I can't get an A unless I do. And so I found some call-in meetings, and the first two were so lame, and I was like the only person, literally, like me and maybe one other person on the call-in. And I thought, this is so lame. I just killed that hour and a half of my life I can never get back. But I just had this feeling to try one more time. And at the time, I couldn't go an hour. People say they could white knuckle it for a period of time. I could not go 1 day without sugar, not even half a day, not even till lunch. And so I called in, and the third time I called in, I felt a shift. And at the same time, I had my little book with the 12 steps that went along with that meeting. And I was just going to give it everything that I had. And I felt a shift inside of me. And I was able to stop eating sugar. I was able to stop. But then I got to step five, and it said I had to share. And I wrote my step four. I mean, I had no guidance, no direction. You should see the amends that I tried to make on my own. But I got to step five, and it said, you need to give this away to a sponsor. And I'm thinking, but there is no sponsors in this program. Who do I give it away to? So I started Googling just sponsor, how to find a sponsor. That was the first thing I Googled. I found nobody, nothing. But over the course of a few weeks, I did come across OA. And so I got online and ordered all of their materials from New Mexico. And they sent me all their materials, and I found a meeting that was not the one that I currently attend, the big one that I currently attend, which is Vision, which I assume you all know about Vision. And I don't know if I can mention other meetings here, but anyway, I already did. Sorry. Anyway, but it was somebody, I found somebody from a different food addiction 12-step program. And on day one, and she was wonderful, and but on day one, she said, you have to eat everything that I eat. And that's just the way they run the program. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I could not do it. I have many food allergies, and I didn't think I would be able to do it. And so I said, thank you so much. I think I'm going to keep looking. And I didn't know there was anything else out there. I just thought, I can't eat exactly what she eats every single day. And so she called me like 3 days later and said, hey, I don't attend this meeting. I don't know anything about it, but it's called Vision, and here's the number, and maybe it can help you. She didn't need to do that. She had no reason to do that, but she did. And I got on there, and I've been on there ever since, along with all of the branches, the meetings that have branched off from that. But so my life was really good. I went through the steps. I made every single amend. In fact, step nine is my favorite step. It is my favorite step because I received more of the promises and more of the joy there than everywhere else. And I love step nine. So I got through the steps, and I was sponsoring, and everything was wonderful for about 5.5 years until it wasn't. And even though everything I had been through, I still thought, I got this. I've been in 5.5 years. And what I did is I stopped. I was sponsoring, but I didn't have anybody new that was, on step one. I was just, going along with my sponsors who had been through the steps. Now they were sponsoring. And I stopped doing 10 steps. So now the emotions are building up because I thought, well, I'm an expert at this. And I'm not saying I was perfect that whole time, but I didn't ever binge on candy, or I think I was 99% abstinent with no binges, but all of the little learning curves that threw out there, just for full disclosure. But I was doing really well, and I was feeling the effects of the program. I was neutral. I'd never be able to. I wasn't able to keep any candy or cold cereal in my house at all, ever, at any time. Not even at my neighbors' houses, because I would go talk them into giving the candy back that they were watching for me. But I now had candy and cereal in my cupboard that was I had to throw away because it was expiring, which was it's a miracle. It was a miracle. But I started to take control back, and I wasn't going to as many meetings. I wasn't serving on meetings. And then my sponsor had to leave program. She was going to take a break from OA, and so I thought, well, I don't need, and I had been weighing and measuring and committing, and I was now not committing, and I still continue to weigh and measure because I've always known that I have to do that. I just do. But I was now not committing. And so I went to California to visit my son and his wife, and I went to Whole Foods, and they gave me this, when I went to check out, they gave me this cute little jute bag that had samples in it, and they've never done that. I've gone to Whole Foods my whole life. They've never done that. And so I take it back to my son's house, and I looked inside in the car, and there was a full-size protein bar. And am I at 3 minutes already? Did somebody say 3 minutes? Oh, okay.
No.
Good. Because I don't know where I'm at. Anyway, so I'm having a really uncomfortable conversation with my daughter-in-law, and because I didn't realize I was now white-knuckling it. So my bag of groceries, all my abstinent food is in that bag, and that stupid protein bar was screaming at me, and I mean screaming. And as I'm listening to my daughter-in-law smiling, and yes, I wasn't hearing a word she said. All I could think about was that protein bar, and I have never considered bars, quote unquote, abstinent foods. I don't care if they're Lara bars. I'm not saying this for anybody else. I'm just saying for me, I can't have those bars. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know what? I don't have to commit it to my sponsor because I don't have one. And I don't, it'll be my dinner. It's got starch, it's got protein, it's got fat. And I couldn't even hear what she was saying. And so I, with that be, and the voices talking to me were so smooth and so sweet and so gentle. And so I walked over to my bag, pulled that protein bar out. I don't read the label because I don't want to know. I'm just telling myself it's probably sweetened with dates. Dates are a fruit. Everything's fine. And I eat that bar. I didn't taste one bite of it. I don't even remember what it tasted like. All I know is the minute that first bite hit my mouth, I'm eating it, and then it's gone. And the voices in my head changed. And now they're not so sweet, and they're not so soft, and now they're cruel, and they're yelling, and they're screaming, and they're telling me how stupid I am, and how you just lost your abstinence.
3 minutes.
Thank you. So that was this past year. Thank heavens it did not lead to a binge. I went to bed that night so full of fear and so full of what do I do? I prayed half the night, and by the next morning I knew what I had to do. And through some trial and error over the next few months, I got another sponsor, and she had me go back through the steps, and it was brutal because I thought, I don't not have to do this again. I didn't binge, it was just a protein bar. But now that I am through them, it the harder it is to go through the steps for me, and the more strict and by the book my sponsor is, the better I do. That is what I need. And so I was able to go. And several times I almost quit and thought, I don't want to do this anymore. I do not want to do this anymore. But I did it. And when I got to the other side, I just felt so relieved and so happy. And so now I've got exactly 2 minutes to tie it to this week's topic. Oh, and I want to end with, I feel like God gave me wings to fly, and I over time took him for granted. I took him for granted. I took the wings for granted. I let go of them. But he was waiting. He was waiting behind the curtain, just waiting for me to return to him and say, here's your wings back. I've been holding them for you. Here they are. And they it, and so I want to end with that because I didn't get myself abstinent. God did. But he needed me to do something. He wasn't just going to wave it away. He needed me to be in program so I could grow and learn. And so I wasn't sure how to tie it to the traditions, so I decided to just choose one, and I chose tradition five, that we have one primary purpose, and that is to carry this message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. And that sponsor years ago, when I told her, you know what, I don't need you to sponsor me, and she didn't have to call me back a few days later, but she knew I was suffering. She knew I was struggling, and she knew I meant it. I was serious. And so she introduced me to another whole program. And if it wasn't for people who will take my step five, if it's not for people who will take my food, let me commit it to them, let me talk to them, let me do step tens, I don't know where I would be. So anyway, with that, I pass. Thank you.
Debbie, thank you so much for sharing with us your experience, strength, and hope, and the miracle of your recovery. Thank you. We'll now open the meeting for questions or for 3-minute shares. As this is a big book study, sharing and questions should relate specifically to the chapter and the step being studied this week. We ask you to accept this guideline in order to keep the meeting on track. If you'd like to share or ask a question, please raise your virtual hand, which is under reactions, or star 9 if you're on the phone. I will call the raised hands in order, and the Zoom host will ask you to unmute when it's your turn. Would the timekeeper please set a timer for 3 minutes for each share and announce when the time is up? If the speaker has asked a question, please allow 3 minutes for the answer. Okay, I've got Meredith up.
Hey everybody, Meredith B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Nashville. So good to see you all. Thank you so much, Debbie. It's good to see you too. It's been a while, it feels like. And I really identified with so much of your story. And I had a moment like that too in high school. And I was just sick all the time. I just felt so sick with pills and laxatives and just anything. It reminds me of an AA speaker when asked what his drug of choice was. He said, "My drug of choice is what do you got?" And I would just like, throw it in there, whatever. So, and I do feel like God totally rescued me from that. I mean, from that season of anorexia and bulimia, and then I went swung to the other side of the pendulum, or the pendulum swung. But I am really grateful for your story, your share, because I mean, that is what it's like, a cautionary tale. And I need to hear that. And I love that you got a sponsor and you were just like, ugh, I don't want to do this again. As if, like, I know I hear people say, I've said it, I know what to eat, I know, I've worked the steps. But apparently we don't. I mean, I think I know, but if I'm not recovered, then I've missed something. And I needed a kick in the pants too. And I got a sponsor that gave me that, gave me the structure. And I mean, it seems so elementary, or I don't know. It felt like I'm a grown ass woman. I can't believe I'm reporting this stuff. But hey, I'm really not. I'm a petulant child, and I needed someone to help get me in line. And I just also thought about how is service-wide, like you're talking about the traditions and service, it needs to pinch, we need to feel it. I do. It just reminds me, this is where I am. This is what I need to do to stay in it and not forget. So thanks for your share. It was really great. I'll pass.
Thank you, Meredith. Ian, come on in.
Hi, y'all. ENF, compulsive overeater. Very grateful to be here, Debbie. That was incredible. I had flashbacks hearing that story about the bar, because I mean, I just That's exactly how it feels. That's exactly how it feels. And when you talk about the tradition and our primary purpose is to carry the message to other compulsive overeaters, like that is what we are here to do. I have been on meetings where the vibe was get on the meeting and talk about how much life sucks. And that, fellowship is great, but getting on a meeting, doesn't matter where I am in my recovery, if you're recovered or not, how long you've been here, whatever, and hearing someone describe your mental state exactly like that, like you don't look anything like me. We've probably had very different life experiences, but in that like when you describe it was really gentle before I went, and then I had it, and then all of a sudden it's like a banshee now, just like God, scared me. And then I was I'm a bulimic too. I'm an exercise bulimic, and I was talking with a fellow recently, and hunger came up in our conversation, and she said, "Oh, well, neither of us has really ever experienced hunger." And I was like, "Yeah, but I'm an anorexic and bulimic." She said, "No, that's not hunger. That's power that you have felt," and it just knocked me out. I've never felt frustrated that I was hungry in my life. And anytime I get hungry, I'm just like, here we go. I feel so good. It's those voices. And it just, hearing you and hearing that recently has just reminded me, because I've been feeling insane, and getting to be in these rooms and have that, be able to share that with people. It's nothing like it. Nothing like it. So thank you. Thank you very much. And I'm going to pass with that. Love y'all.
Thank you, Ian. Shira L, come on in.
Hi, everyone. Shira, compulsive overeater. Thank you so much, Debbie. What a wonderful story. Yeah, it's just so wonderful to hear someone's brain like that's similar to mine. I think that's kind of what brought me to program was, I had so many friends that struggled with her weight, and we would all like do diets together and send each other like our food for the day. And then it came to this point where, like your protein bar story, I realized they weren't having that, like exactly how you described it. Like my best friend, I would like send her my food, she would send me her food, and like she wasn't killing herself for any food that she may have had that she didn't plan on having, or even when we would be out together. And I realized like I don't hear anything she's saying, like you said. I'm like, I can't. And then at the end of the meal, I'm like, hey, I actually haven't heard the majority of our conversation because there was like a certain food on the table. And for the past 2 hours, I was deciding if I should eat it or if I shouldn't eat it. And I don't know. And then I even would discuss with her, and she was just like, huh? And I was like, okay. So I think we're a little bit different. Like, there's something different. I need to place it. And then that happened for obviously years though before I finally got here. But that was so beautifully described, like how you said it, the soft voices again. It was just really, it's so comforting to hear those words and to be able to have a group of people that you can feel comfortable with feeling those feelings and not just like you're an alone, insane person. I also think that was really important, the part where you had a spot, you were doing all the stuff, kind of you were sponsoring and kind of doing the finish the steps. I think that's like a really scary part of program, which is where you're in it but kind of not in it fully. It's almost like a fear to like it's almost a fear of mine to fall into that without realizing. Because so much of it at the end of the day is like that spiritual connection. And if that's not there for me, then it doesn't matter how many meetings I'm going on or if I'm, think I'm finished the steps. But if I'm not consciously doing my actively working the steps, then I won't make it. So I think that was also really helpful to hear. Really wonderful story, wonderful share. Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Thank you, Shira. Claudine.
Hi, I'm Claudine B., recovered compulsive eater in Nashville, Tennessee. Debbie, thank you so much for that share. Many things really spoke to me. I am a big visual learner and hearer. And when you described eating that protein bar with the voices at the beginning and the voices after, that was just, it's such an excellent picture of the agony we have day in and day out when we're in our disease. I mean, it's just, it's so powerful and distorts us so much. It's such a good picture of how badly it wants us to die. I mean, just mentally, physically, and emotionally. It's just a constant full bore effort to kill us. And another thing that really spoke to me was, you know, my sponsor recently left the program. And so I have been thinking, well, do I need another sponsor? Do I not? Do I not? And so I've been going back and forth because we had become friends instead of really sponsoring anymore. It was like we were done. And but then I had an experience the other day where the first time in 2 years, I ran out of work, so stressed out. I thought I was dying to get food, and that hadn't happened before. So I used my tools. I called everybody I could. I was appropriately, you know, backing away from the hot flame. And then this morning I woke up and thought, oh my gosh, I haven't done an inventory in 3 days. So it's like 1 minute I've got the tools and I'm doing them and I'm doing for the right reasons, not just to tick off my list. And then the next minute I realized, okay, this has slipped. And it's not that I'm saying I need to do my program perfectly, but things can turn quickly. They really can. And I feel like, you know, I fully understand that God gave us the tools to stay close to Him. It's not to stay abstinent. It's not the power that we have. It's something He helps. That's how He guides us to Him. But I'm like a little kid that keeps dropping their parents' hand, because I just want to do it by myself. And so you gave me a lot to think about. So this was timely, as usual, with how God is. And I really appreciate your share.
Thank you, Claudine. Lacey, come on in.
Hey, thanks, Sally. Thanks for chairing the meeting. And thank you so much, Debbie. That was so wonderful. I get so much out of this meeting every time I'm on it. That, like everyone else, I think I was so moved by the story of the protein bar talking to you. I mean, that kind of thing is not going to resonate with me if I'm not one of you. You know what I mean? And that's, I need to hear stories like that, because as someone else shared, you know, like my girlfriends and even my friends in other programs that I'm in, that I hang out with, we may have dieted together, but they're not like me. At least to my knowledge, they're not like me. They don't get it. And in fact, when I've said things to them like that, that you said about the protein bar, they kind of look at me like, what is wrong with you? You know? So I've learned they're just not my people to talk to about food. And I started to feel really sad when you said that. I started to get into this thing that happens for me, which is, I'm so sad that that little girl had to eat in the closet when she was young. And I, for the first time, was able to do two things. One, I'm not that little girl anymore. I'm not in an unsafe environment. And number two, that self-pity keeps me in the food. It, you know, like if I'm thinking about how damaged I am and how my childhood was so screwed up, which it was, so, you know, many of ours was not right. So I just am really starting to see that, as I've been working on my fourth step, and I listened to a talk, I think Esther maybe, and she said, you know, there's a reason that we don't write a novel about every resentment. Like, we don't want to refill and relive and do all that stuff. And she said something about journaling, like journaling didn't, you know, work for her because she couldn't, she didn't need to get all upset again. And I think that's what I've been doing to myself, but it's only when I hear other people in these programs say what's in my head or my heart or my thoughts, or, you know, like when you're talking about how I feel, that's the most powerful thing I think there is, when I can really connect with you on that level. So thank you for your vulnerability and your honesty and for showing up for us tonight.
Thank you, Lacey. Okay, we're going to stop the recording right now for...